James chapter 4. The fact that we are in the month of January, it causes me to think of things that we as a congregation need to head into this new year with. Last year is over. We are heading into a brand new year. And it causes me to want to say with the Apostle Paul, I forget those things which are behind. It's over. I forget those things which are behind. He said, because I want to reach forth unto those things which are before. I want to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We need Christ Jesus. We need Christ Jesus. We need the presence of Christ Jesus. I tell you what this congregation needs. What do y'all need down there? Anything y'all need? We need the presence of Christ Jesus. We need the comfort of Christ Jesus. We need the peace of Christ Jesus. That's what we need. We need to grow in many ways. We are a young congregation. We're a young congregation by way of time. Even though this congregation was formed 18 years ago, half of this congregation has come into it within the last 1 to 3 to 5 years. We're young in the amount of time that we've been together. I look at some congregations of people who have been together for decades upon decades upon decades upon decades. And we're young in the time that we've been together. We are also physically young in age. Half of this congregation is under the age of 30. I got out our directory and just looked at everybody on it. 2/3 of the other half of this congregation is under the age of 50. We are a young congregation, and in many ways, we need to grow. We need to grow. We need to grow in grace. We need to grow in love. We need to grow in faith. We need to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you really think about that. That is so true. We need to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this exhortation from our Lord, it hits me like a ton of bricks. This really hits me like a ton of bricks. Look at the last line of verse 2. James 4, the last few words there of verse 2, it says, you have not because you ask not. You have not because you ask not. Verse 2, he said, you lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not, because you ask not. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. The warning to us from our Lord is, you have not, because either you ask not, either we don't pray, and I will be the first to sadly admit, I do not pray as I should. I'm very sorry to say that as your pastor. Lord, help me to pray. Help me to pray. But either he is saying we just don't pray, or he said, you ask with lip service. You're just going through the motions. You're doing what you think you're supposed to do. What are we supposed to do before we sit down to a meal to eat? What are we supposed to do? Pray. That's what everybody, you know, we have to pray. So what do? We pray. How often do we pray with lip service? Or our Lord said, we ask for the wrong motives. We pray. And man, how true is that? How true is that? Asking for the wrong motives. I want the Lord to teach me something about asking Him in sincerity. Praying in sincerity. Our Lord said, if you ask of me, I mean really ask in sincerity, He said, you'll receive. He said, that's my promise to you. You ask a good thing. A good thing. Not a selfish thing. Not a hurtful thing. A good thing in my name, in sincerity, He said, I'll give it to you. You will receive it. You ask, you will receive it. You seek with all your heart, and you'll find it. You truly knock on my door, He says, and I'll open it to you. I'll open it to you. There are so many things that I desire for me personally, and I desire for us as a congregation. And a light bulb has been turned on in my heart that we need to ask the Lord for it. We're heading out into 2024. And we need to be asking our Lord for His blessing. We need to be asking our Lord for many things. In Ezekiel 36, our Lord listed all of these things that He was going to do for His people. If you read Ezekiel 36, He said, I'm going to do this for them. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. He said, I will yet be inquired of them to do it for them. He said, they are going to ask me. They are going to say, please. Brethren, as we head into this new year, I want to encourage us to pray. I want to encourage us to pray. I desire that the Lord would have mercy. This is just me. I desire that the Lord would have mercy and call out sheep from this community. And that He would add to our fold. And I'm not talking about people. I'm not talking about numbers. I'm talking about sheep. And if that's my desire, I need to pray for that. And if anyone else desires that too, we need to pray for that together. We need to ask the Lord for that. I deeply desire, let me tell you, I'll just get a little candid with you here for a minute, okay? Let me tell you my deepest desire for us as a congregation. It's that we might be spared the havoc of the adversary. And I'm being so serious. And I know that's your desire too. He will make child's play of us. You know, let us hang in there a minute, get a little lifted up in pride. We got the new building. We got the this. We got the that. Just give us just a minute and He will make child's play of us. He will create a heart in us like we don't want to have. And He will ruin us. Oh, I'm telling you, I want this congregation to be spared the havoc of the adversary. And I know you do too. And I'm telling you, and Paul is telling us, and Peter's telling us, and our Lord is telling us, we need to be praying for that. We need to be praying for that. I desire our children to be one of God's elect. And it's not our prayer that makes anybody to be one of God's elect. But He said we can pray. We need to pray, Lord, please include them and us. Please save us. I want to personally, I want each one of us personally and individually, and I want all of us collectively to become grounded and settled in the truth. There's nothing more precious than a believer, an aged believer that is grounded and settled in the truth and not carried about with every wind of doctrine. Well, I heard this. What about this? Well, what about that? We need to be praying for that. We need to be praying for that. Let's pray for that together. The disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. And we get two meanings from that. Number one, teach us to do it. Teach us to pray. But number two, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray. And the Lord did. He gave them instructions on how to pray. And that's what I want us to look at here for just a minute. And I pray this will be a help to us. All right. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew 6. Matthew 6, our Lord stated first what it is to ask amiss. He started this teaching by showing us what it is to ask amiss, like it said in the book of James there, that we might consume it on our own lusts. Verse 5, he said, "When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." They just love to be seen praying. In any public setting they can find, they try to find the most public setting they can find. You know, they want to appear to be holy before everybody. And our Lord said, they have their reward. They have their reward by being seen and heard of men. That's what they were, seen and heard of men. Our Lord is saying, they're not going to be seen and heard of me. They're seen and heard of men. That's their reward. Verse 6, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door," and he doesn't literally mean a closet. He means a quiet place, a private place, a personal place. And that's the closet of our heart. You know, I just prayed publicly right now. But I think the goal of praying publicly is to enter into the closet while we're doing it. That private place. And he said, "When thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." He said, when you pray to God the Father. There's only one person to pray to, and that's God the Father. God the Father. Verse 7. "But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." He said, vain repetitions, repeating the same thing. Not that we can't ask for the same things continually. I do ask for the same things continually. But just having a series of lines that we repeat all the time, calling it prayer. He said, not only is that not prayer, it's not anything. It's empty. It's vain. It's just vain repetition. An example of this is, let's not teach our children to say these common chants. God is good. God is great. Let us thank Him for our food. Amen. Now I lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, pray the Lord my soul to take. It's a shame that I know that. That's not prayer. That's a vain repetition. That's just vain jangling. Empty. And it's not just empty. It's harmful. We will harm our children by teaching them things like that. Verse 8, he said, "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him." We don't have to repeat the same thing to Him 10 times. He knows what we need before we ever ask Him the first time. "But to acknowledge His hand in all things," and that's what we're doing in prayer. To acknowledge His hand in all things, He told us to ask. And He said, this is how you ask. When we pray, this is how we pray. Verse 9. "After this manner, therefore, pray ye. He did not say, pray this. If we all started chanting collectively, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's vain jangling. That's just a memorized chant, and it means nothing. It just means nothing. Our Lord said, after this manner, in this way, with this heart, in this approach, pray. And I hope this will be impactful to us, and I hope this will teach us something about prayer. Verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven. He said, when you pray, pray as a child to your Father. When you pray, when you go before Him in prayer, pray as a child to your Father. Look at Matthew 7. This is where He said in verse 7, Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Verse 9, He said, Or what man is there of you whom if his son asked bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask of Him? Your Father. It worries me, and that's an underrated word. That's an underrated statement, but I'm just going to use that word. It worries me when I hear people approach Him as a buddy or as a co-worker. Our Lord said, when you pray as a child to your Father. Pray as a child to your Father. Back in chapter 6, verse 9. He said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He said, when you pray as a worshiper of the high and holy God, Father, Son, and Spirit, God Almighty. In John 4, our Lord said, the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Our Lord said, I am the truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. Pray as a child. When you approach Him, when we approach Him, let's pray as a child. Let's pray as a worshiper. Worshiper. Verse 10, Matthew 6, verse 10. He said, Thy kingdom come. Pray as a subject to the King. That's what we need in our prayer. We need subjection. We need subjection. We are subjects of the high and holy King. We're not on par with Him. We're not on par with Him. We are subjects of the high and holy King who is seated on His throne. And we need to pray to Him that way. When we pray, we're coming before a throne, a holy throne. We need that fearful remembrance. I've told you this before, but it's been a while. Some may not have heard this. We have a dear sister who lives in another state and attends another congregation. And years ago, her brother, who is not a believer, does not attend a true gospel church, he was sick and in the hospital. And this sister of ours, this believing sister, was with her brother in the hospital. And his pastor came to see him, who was a woman. And our sister said, "This is about the most obnoxious woman you've ever met in your life." And after she'd been there for a while, she said, "All right, everybody, bow your heads." And then she said, "God, it's me." And our sister said, "The thought went through my head, get me out of here before lightning strikes this place." Hold your place right here and go to Psalm 95. Psalm 95, verse 1 says, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land." Verse 6 says, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." That's prayer. That's how we approach him in prayer, kneeling as subjects before our King, the high and holy King. Go back to Matthew 6. Verse 10 says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Thy will be done. Thy will be done. As you wish. You ever heard that statement? As you wish. As you wish. Pray as a servant of the Master. A humble servant, a happy and willing servant. Not as a slave, but as a bond slave. A bond slave. What's a bond slave? You'll enjoy this. Hold your place again and go to Exodus 21. Exodus 21, verse 2 says, "If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married," if he came in with a wife, "then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, 'I love my master, my wife and my children, I will not go free,' then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever." Not as a slave. Being forced to be there. He's not forced to be there. He's a bond slave, desiring and wanting to be there. He's a willing, happy servant of the Master. He's free to go, but he doesn't want to. The question is put to him, "Will you go away?" He says, "To whom else can I go? I love you. I'm staying right here." Let's pray to him like that. Lord, you're our master. We're your willing servants. Go back to Matthew 6. Verse 11 says, give us this day our daily bread. Pray as beggars. Pray as beggars. We don't make our demands to Him. Do you ever catch yourself? Do you ever realize mid-prayer, wait a minute, I'm making demands here. We don't make our demands to Him. We don't state our expectations from Him. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from above. Go ahead. I'm thinking about not having you turn, but just do it. Go to Matthew 15. Matthew 15, look at verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. That's how we come to Him. That's how we approach Him. We're beggars. Lord, I'm a beggar. And if you would just let some crumbs fall from your table. We don't feed our dog scraps, really. We have this little dog, and that poor little thing has to eat dog food all the time. All the time. And, you know, I'm not known as the pet person of the century, but that dog has really grown on me, and I love her. And I was eating popcorn last night, and she was looking at me like, I mean, at every move. I'd put my hand in the bag, and she'd follow my hand, and she'd follow it back up. I was thinking, poor thing. And so it's time to put it up. So I got up, and I reached in there, and I just let some fall behind me. And I let some fall behind me, and I let some fall behind me. And, buddy, she was on it like a dog on popcorn. I let fall some handfuls of purpose for her. And that's what this woman's saying. Master, if you'd just sweep some crumbs off your table, I'll be so happy and so satisfied. That's how we come to Him. We're beggars. We are beggars of Christ. We are beggars for Christ. We're mercy beggars. We're forgiveness beggars. Forgiveness in the blood of the Lamb. We don't assume on it. We beg for it. God's people don't assume on it. They beg for it. They beg for it. All right, go back to Matthew 6. Verse 12, he said, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. In Luke's account, he said, forgive us our sins. Debts are sins. When we pray, we need to pray as sinners. Oh, wretched man that I am. I am chief. I was born a sinner. I have lived my life in this world as a sinner, and I'm still a sinner. I'll tell you what repulses a child of God about hearing someone who is in false religion pray. Does it not disgust you to hear the prayer of someone who is dripping in man-centered false religion? I don't mean to be mean. I'm just being honest. I'll tell you what it is. I'll tell you what repulses God's people about hearing it. They never pray as sinners. If you want to pick up on what it is that just you don't want to hear it, they never pray as sinners. Never. Never. And therefore their prayer is not heard. If we are going to be heard, we're going to have to pray as sinners. We're going to have to pray as sinners. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 13 says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lead us. Lead us. Pray as a follower of Him. Pray as a follower of Him. Dependent on Him for our every move. We are dependent on Him for our every move. Lord, where would You lead me to go? What would You lead me to do? Lead us. Deliver us. We're lost without His leadership. Let's pray to Him fervently, acknowledging that if He takes His hand on us, we will head straight into temptation. Let's pray to Him as the weak, helpless vessels that we are, who desperately need His protection and His help. Verse 13 goes on to say, for Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. He said, pray as a glorifier of God Almighty. Let's pray as men and women who want all the power, all the honor, and all the glory to go to God Almighty in the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'll just read this to you in closing. This is Jeremiah 9, verses 23 and 24. It says, Jeremiah 9, 23, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Lord, teach us to pray. Amen. All right, you're dismissed.